Well, we have. Is the recording going now?
Yes, sir, the recording has now begun.
Thank you very much. Okay. So it looks like everyone's on except for Mark McFadden, and our time scheduling for the calls hasn't worked for Mark very well. So this is going to be our last call, barring anything that we learn differently today. So hopefully we'll be able to get through and finish up enough so that we can finish the document and send it to the council. The council will be, we'll then take it from there and review it and decide what to do with it. And of course, all of you are welcome to continue tracking that process. I'll try and keep you informed as well through our little list. Don't know what the timing will be on the council action. I do know that there's a lot of things going on there, so I will get that to them either later today or tomorrow, and after we make the changes. Now, Olaf is going to be editing on the document in Google Accounts this morning. I'll be switching back and forth between that document and the latest Word document, so that we both have notes on how to get this thing finalized. Any questions? Let me start off by thanking everyone for their involvement, and I'll do that again at the end. But since our last call last week, Tin Wee made suggested edits, and Sophia, you indicated that you were okay with those, and I also sent some comments in that regard, and we will go through those in our call this morning. So let's get started. What I'd like to do first, if nobody objects, is just take a look. The document I sent out in the Word version had highlights. The one in Google Accounts won't show the highlights, but I would like to just go through those and see if we have any changes to the edits were made. Then we'll go to the wording suggestions by Tin Wee, and those were in response to some items that Sophia had identified in her comments. And then we'll take anything else in the document that anybody wants to discuss. Is that all right? Okay, and for the sake of, now is this being transcribed as well, Glenn, or not?
It is indeed, Jack.
Okay, so make sure you identify yourself. I think we all recognize each other's voices by now, but the transcribers don't. So if you just indicate when your name, when you're saying something, that will help the transcribers a lot. Now, I'm not going to go over minor edits that are in the document. Those are highlighted, so you can see those in the Word version. But Mark McFadden had suggested, and I'm in the paragraph just before section A of the document, and if you're in the Word document, it's still on page one. Mark McFadden had suggested that we consider a set of general overall principles, but he never did provide any text, so I'm going to go ahead and delete that comment, and we'll just leave it as is unless anybody objects to that. Okay? All right. Going on then to the next edit was a minor one. I'll accept all those later. Scrolling down to section, section one, which is which territories are eligible for an IDN CCTLD, and question A, should this relationship be maintained? There was an edit there that basically said in the one, two, looks like the second, third sentence, where added with an IDN CCTLD label to get a full IDN name. I think that's just grammatical and wordsmithing. But I if anybody thinks that's not the case, let me know. In the second, what I believe is the second paragraph of that response, it says, it is also noted that a number of territory-based ASCII-CC TLDs. Now, I deleted the word significant because I'm not sure what, you know, that there's a significant number of territory-based ASCII-CC TLDs are not operated as territory-based CC TLDs. And then what is significant? So anybody have a problem with deleting the word significant there? We do know that there are a number of them. Is that okay?
Can I just make a comment?
Sure, Sophia.
Maybe it's, who made that comment? But maybe it's meant to say many, not necessarily significant in an important way, but to say a number, like number many. So I guess number should cover that, or are we...
I think so.
Okay.
That would be my opinion. Anybody think differently?
Of territory, yeah, I think that's fine.
I mean, we're just making the point that there are some out there, and I don't know if anybody knows how many there are, but there certainly are quite a few, and I think a number covers that. Okay? Thanks. All right, so that's okay. Then at the end of that section, a sentence was added there. If such restriction is not possible, then the issue of unfair competition must be addressed to ensure that the technical, financial, and operational criteria required for IDN CCTLDs is the same as for new IDN GTLDs. And Sophia, let me ask you for comment. First of all, I think that was my attempt to try and capture what you wanted, and I had committed to do that on our last call. Is that the idea that you were trying to convey? Did I capture that correctly?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Anybody else have a comment on that? Okay. Now, going to question D in the same section, and the question is, should anything be done about CCTLDs already being used as GTLDs? And quite a bit of, well, there was some text deleted, our old text was deleted in the last meeting, and there's a lot of text that is highlighted in the document. The part that hasn't changed are the first two sentences. So the proposed GNSO response says, this seems to be an issue of primary concern for the government associated with individual CCTLDs. If it is agreed that the associated government should have sovereign control over their CCTLDs, then it seems to follow that they should be the ones to decide how to use their CCTLDs. A minor edit there at the end, F added the CCTLD. Then, the rest of the text, and some of it comes from what we had before, but it's been modified, and I think we agreed to it in the last meeting, but let me read it and make sure that we're okay, or see if there's more changes we want to make, whatever. And so it then goes on to say, in that regard, though, it seems appropriate that any IDN CCTLDs added should be done for the sole purpose of benefiting the applicable local CCTLD language community, or language communities as applicable. For example, for a fictitious ASCII CCTLD.xi serving a territory called Island X, an IDN CCTLD for .xi should only be added using a specific script that is used by an Island X language community, and the purpose of that CCTLD should be to serve members of that particular language community on Island X, as well as any of its members that may be located elsewhere in the world. An IDN CCTLD for .xi should not be added to serve a generic global purpose, i.e., making it a de facto GTLD. Any questions or comments on that? Anybody not okay with that language? Okay. Going on then. And I'm scrolling down to the main question, how many IDN CCTLDs per script per territory? The main question in the Word document is on page 4. I don't think you have page numbers in the Google one. Yeah, question?
Can we hear?
Oh, good.
I'm back. Yes, I can understand. I'm reading your blue stuff.
Okay,
that,
good.
That is in part D.
Good.
I'm just wondering.
Go ahead.
Would anybody be... go ahead.
We're down to question how many IDNCC, and it's on at the bottom of page 4 in the Word version, if you have that.
Yeah. So I just wanted to go back to the island thing.
Okay, let's go back. That was what I was going to ask next.
Sorry about that.
To see if you had anything there. Okay, please, I'm back there. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question was, is there anywhere in the text that sort of covers the ground in between? For example, if we know very clearly that we should try to benefit the local community in local territory, and then, of course, we try to avoid the situation that where the, something that's intended for local territory is now used for global purpose beyond its original purpose, right? So the question is, what happens if a territory that is not quite global but extends outside of a particular territory? So, for example, like the community in the Tamil community, right? They're used by the people in Tonga and in Sri Lanka, the island X people, right?
Right.
However,
now, if I'm understanding you correctly, I think it is covered in there. That's why it said, and let me pick the words there. If you go to the, I think, the last sentence, it says, for example, for a fictitious ASCII CCTLD.exe.
Okay, as well as any of its members that may be located elsewhere in the world.
And does
right, that is referring to its members, you see? So it must be, it should actually refer to members of that particular language community.
As well as any maybe.
That may be located elsewhere in the world, right?
And, as well as any that, let's just delete of its members. Is that okay? So in other words, it would say, as well as any that may be located elsewhere in the world.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Or even including any.
Okay, so...
That's fine with me, yeah.
So including...
Any that may be located elsewhere in the world. That's all. Yeah, that's just my point of tightening up that language.
Including any that may be good. That's good. Good changes. Thank you.
Okay, that's all.
So it now reads, just to make sure everybody's with me on this, for example, for a fictitious ASCII CCTLD.xi serving a territory called Island X, an ID and CCTLD for .xi should only be added using a specific script that is used by an Island X language community, and the purpose of that CCTLD should be to serve members of that particular language community on Island X, including any members that may be located elsewhere in the world. Is that okay? Good. Okay. Let me hit a quick save on mine. So going down then to where we were at the bottom of page 4, where is the main question is how many IDN CCTLDs per script per territory. And then going on to page 5 in the Word document, question A was, should there similarly be only a single ID and CCTLD for a given script, and so on. And again, we have quite a bit of new text in the first paragraph of the response. The sentence that stayed the same is, if there are multiple official scripts used in a territory, the best user experience would be to provide IDN TLDs in all those scripts where feasible. And then it goes on, and the rest of this is all new text. However, means should be foreseen to mitigate any excesses. For example, if a government applies for a multitude of IDN CCTLD strings that might conceivably denote its country in a wide variety of scripts/languages. Such behavior could, inter alia, force brand owners to make costly defensive registrations in all such TLDs to prevent domain name squatting, phishing, or other abuse. One way to address such concerns could be that every government wishing to implement an IDN CCTLD should adopt a mechanism for taking into account views from its own language, own local language communities, as well as from relevant language communities outside its country territory. Another approach could be to implement an objection process whereby governments and other entities could voice their concerns prior to adoption of any IDN-CCTLD. Any questions or comments on that addition? Any opposition to it? Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to find where that thing is because
okay.
it picked out that I'm from a Vietnamese web browser and from a Vietnamese location and it's all this
it's
Google Docs thing. It's all in Vietnamese. Anybody knows how to read Vietnamese?
It's question
sorry.
A.
Yes.
Under the question, apart from some exceptions, there is one single ASCII CCTLD per listed territory. And the major question, and I don't know if it's bolded in that document, I'm not looking at that right now, but how many IDN CCTLDs per script per territory? So let's let you get there so that you can see the language in writing. Again, it's... at the bottom of page 4 out of 17 pages to give you general context, and top of page 5.
I'm looking at this thing that, the hyperlink that Glenn just sent me. I'm just trying to trace out where that was.
Okay. Let's let you get there, because that's a long set of text, and I'd like you to see it.
Well, was it on... blue or something?
Is it blue in the
green
in the Google document?
It's not blue, not that one. It's well, for some reason or another, it didn't survive us.
I got it.
Good. Okay, good. I wanted you to get there so that we can.
Another approach could be to implement an obsession process so I don't invite their concerns prior to adoption. Okay, sounds good to me.
So that you're okay. You see that first paragraph of the response, most all except of the first sentence, is new text.
Okay, I think I can almost live with it. You have any points to comment? You there, you have?
Yeah. No.
You okay? Okay. Anything else, can we?
Nope. I haven't spotted anything yet. My eyes are all blurry. I have the whole day of teaching.
Yeah, I apologize for that.
No, it's okay.
Mine are blurry for a different reason, and Sophia's are blurry for a different reason. So.
Age, you know, age.
I would name that Sophia.
Hey, that's true. We're all blurry.
Oh, is that Sophia on the phone?
Yes, she is. Yeah.
Hi, Sophia.
Oh, hi, Sophia. How are you? Hugs and kisses.
Okay. All right, going on then.
Wake up.
We're trying. Okay. Going down then to the, under the major question, how many scripts per territory? And then item C, as in Charlie,
yep.
There was some text deleted and reworded there. In the proposed GNSO response, so that it now and the first two sentences didn't change, but then the third sentence it now reads, that said, consideration should be given to whether or not adding an IDN CCTLD increases the possibilities of 1. Homographic spoofing, 2. Creating TLDs with little demand except for defensive registrations, and 3. Adding a risk of TLDs being misused for political ends, and then in parentheses, warring groups that have little need for each other's language and therefore may attempt to abuse each other's language.
So this was the point that you had brought up, right, about something about this Israeli script. Any comments there, you have? No,
where are you? I lost you for a minute.
Okay, let me...
Which point?
Okay, the major question is how many scripts per territory.
Yeah, okay.
And underneath that, look at item C.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then look at the proposed GNSO response. The first two sentences did, or first three sentences, I guess, did not change.
Yeah.
Okay. And then from there on, it says that said, and why don't you read that and make sure you're comfortable with what's there.
Okay. Just a second.
Take your time.
In the meantime, may I just make, I think I've already made a little edit here, that...
Yeah, I think it's it says what I meant in the last call I participated in, yeah.
So it's captured okay? Good.
Yeah, I think it is.
Thank you. Anybody else have a comment on this, and then I'll come back to Olaf. Okay, Olaf, go ahead.
Well, just a minor edit. Possibilities of 1-4. Well, actually, that's a very superfluous preposition. So I suggest to delete 4. And I think
that's the edit I made in your version of the document that you edited, Olaf.
Okay.
So in my version, that's taken care of. Okay, but go ahead and make it in that one as well, please.
Okay.
Okay, good. Yeah, I caught that. When I went through your edits, I saw that. So.
Okay.
Okay. Any other comments on that? Okay, scrolling down, let's see, and again, I will skip minor edits. All of you would have been able to see those in the redline version, the Word document that was sent around. So I'm scrolling down quite a ways. Maybe I ought to cover this one. If you go down to major question, are there any rights attached to a given script? Okay, are there any rights attached to a given script? And then scroll down to, let's see, to item B as in boy. And the proposed GNSO response in the it looks like the last sentence there were some changes made in that sentence. So let me read that sentence. And there are basically just some deletions in there. Okay. And since there is nothing that can be done to prevent a country from unilaterally stopping by legal or other means the use of any script or TLD in that script within its jurisdiction, comma, it would seem prudent and sensible for ICANN and a prospective IDN TLD registry wishing to deploy their TLD, and at that point, we delete in a given country, say Japan. Okay? So that's gone, and so it says, and a prospective IDN TLD registry wishing to deploy their TLD in a given script, say kanji, to approach that country and or the local language community in question to vet, and then we deleted or approve. So it's just to vet their intent, particularly from the point of view of commercial viability and market acceptability. Now I'm wondering, do we still want the say kanji in parentheses?
May I comment on that? I think we don't, because I mean, kanji never occurs all on its own. It's always together with either hiragana or katakana. So
we should delete that, right? To say kanji. So the sentence then reads, and I'll read it without commenting on the deletions, and since there is nothing that can be done to prevent a country from unilaterally stopping by legal or other means the use of any script or TLD in that script within its jurisdiction, it would seem prudent and sensible for ICANN and a prospective IDN TLD registry wishing to deploy their TLD in a given script to approach that country and or the local language community in question to vet their intent, particularly from the point of view of commercial viability and market acceptability. Any comments?
The reason for this, there's a good reason for this, I think, because kanji script and hanja script and Chinese script coincide in the context of the CJK.
Yep.
Yes.
Agreed. So, any problems with those changes?
So, remove, say, kanji, right?
Yes, we did. I did, and Olaf is doing it on the Google.
Now done.
Okay.
And approve.
Chuck, but yes. On question B, it brings up the kanji script as a question, right? And it seemed like it's talking to that.
Well, it, as an example.
Yeah.
It says, for example.
Okay. And are we using the answer as an example as well, or as in a sentence?
I think as a sentence. Now,
okay.
What we've done.
That's fine.
Oh, okay. I get Sophia's point because there is explicit mention of, say, GTLD registry getting kanji script accepted under the IDN protocol, whether it should be approved by Japan or not. Or vetted or approved by Japan or not, the answer then should also cite the example that says, well, in actual fact, GTLD registry trying to get kanji script accepted under IDN protocol should not only get it vetted and approved by Japan, but also all countries that actually use that script or overlap with that script, including China, Japan, China and Korea.
I was just thinking.
Because they share that script.
If somebody asked a question to answer, then, you know. Up to the group, I guess.
Yeah, well, again, we are not now referring to the example. We're just responding to the question, and we're saying...
In general, right?
Yeah, in general, yeah. So I think it covers the example, and we're saying that, yeah, it would be good idea for ICANN and the prospective IDN TLD registry to approach the country and local language community in question and to vet their intent.
I'm fine with it, Chuck. It's just I was just commenting on the question. Maybe the answer was addressing that, but just a statement, it's fine. It's acceptable.
Okay.
So I take Sophia's point because they actually explicitly mentioned something which is probably a misconception on the part of the people who asked the question. I hope I'm not insulting any of the ICANN staff here, because it is a sort of like a mistaken understanding of the fact that the CJK script is only split. It is actually split into kanji, which doesn't overlap with the Chinese, which doesn't overlap at all with the Hanja, when in fact they actually do overlap.
So
you get into trouble now if you say that, you know, you don't address the question, so people carry on with a misconception that, you know, oh, it's kanji. So I'm not sure whether it would be undiplomatic to point out the emperor has no clothes here.
Well, in other words, are you suggesting that we shouldn't delete the things we deleted?
No, maybe we just follow exactly as the example said. Principles and illustration of the principle by way of an example. So the question was asking a general question followed by what do you mean exactly by that sophisticated conceptual question. Well, here's an example, kanji. So in response to that, we should say, yes, here's our general answer, and well, in the case of kanji, we would make sure that you like the whoever asked that stupid question actually pay attention to the fact that kanji overlaps with Hanja and with Chinese simplified and traditional script, all under the umbrella of the unified CJK. In such instances, it would be extremely prudent for all the countries involved in sharing that same script to get each other's approval or each other's intent shared amongst these.
Yeah.
To share each other's intent. Right, so if you consider, say, for example, the Arabic script, right, that is used by, you know, a whole bunch of people, including Arabic-speaking people, to Jawi-speaking people, to Urdu-speaking people, and so on, and again, it's just not one script, right? It's used by a lot of different people in different countries, so it's prudent for them to actually ask the other guys who are using that same script, right, what do you think if I use this?
So
least that
It sounds like what you're suggesting then is leave the changes as they are, but add a sentence that deals with the example that was given in the question.
Yes, which then throws light on the fact that it sort of expands on that limited question or the limitations of the question that was posed.
Okay, then
you have to shed more light on the problem. Otherwise, these guys go around with a misconception. Right?
Okay, Sophia?
No, I was just saying, I think if I understand what Henry is saying, it's almost addressed. The question is a bit vague. It needs clarification if it came up already. So by answering at the bottom, like what just Chuck said, we need to add on a sentence clarifying the question. Because it's not very clear or it's not been addressed.
Anybody opposed to that? Then let's draft the sentence. Okay? And let's do that on the fly here. Okay? So, should we say something? And I'm just trying to get it started. It doesn't have to be my language. But in the case of kanji, or how would you do it? Ten, Wee, you made a pretty good stab in what you said of saying a sentence. Do you want to take a cut at it?
Right. Okay, I'll say it slowly. In the case of the cited example, kanji, script, comma, it should be noted that this script...
So it was in the case of the cited example, kanji, script?
Kanji script. It should be noted that it is shared with Chinese script and Korean Hanja script under the Unicode Unified CJK.
Okay, now hang on a second. I don't know how Olaf's doing, but I'm a little bit behind you. So in the case of the cited example, kanji script, it should be noted that it is shared with... go ahead and continue from there for me. My typing's not fast enough.
In the Chinese language and Korean.
That it is shared
correct.
With the Chinese
language. Open parenthesis, simplified and traditional, close parenthesis, and Korean, open parenthesis, Hanja, close parenthesis, among others.
Is Hanja K-A-N-J-A?
Hanja,
H-A-N-J-A. I'm Hanja. Yeah.
Yes.
Spell it again, please.
H-A-N-J-A.
Okay, got it. Okay. Now, hold on a second. I missed the one part of it there. So in the case of the cited example kanji script, it should be noted that it is shared with the Chinese language. And what did you want me to add after Chinese language?
Open parenthesis, simplified, and traditional.
Okay.
Close parenthesis.
And traditional.
Henry, you better be there in GNSO if we forget how to explain
Korean
this.
Korean language.
Well, it's just directly, it was your point that you raised, right? I was about to let it go when you reminded me, so I went up to read the thing again,
okay.
And true enough, there was this example.
All right, so I think I'm with you now. So I've got so
yeah.
far, in the case of the cited example kanji script, it should be noted that it is shared with the Chinese language, parentheses, simplified and traditional, and Korean language, parentheses, Hanja.
Under the Unicode CJK Unified script.
Under the Unicode
Unified CJK script.
Shouldn't we say script instead of language? Shared as a script with Chinese.
Well, is the script shared with the... Well, okay. So actually it's wrong to say it's the kanji script that's shared with Chinese. They're all shared under... They share bits of it under the CJK Unified. Except for a few characters that are pictograms which are not used in Chinese, actually. I reckon most of Japanese is a subset. Japanese kanji is a subset of Chinese.
There you go.
Except for a few.
So, are you suggesting that we should leave out the reference to Chinese and Korean and just say that it is shared with the unified, under the unified CJK script?
Okay, so it is shared under this unified CJK code with the Chinese, Korean, and etc.
Oh, okay, so I moved
yeah.
that.
Okay. And therefore, it would be most prudent, right, that they should actually vet each other's intents.
Hang on to that just a second. Let me get this other change that should be noted.
I'm running a bit behind here.
In the case
of the cited example, Kanji script, it should be noted that it is a script shared under the, and then I lost something here.
Here's what I have, Olaf, and I did it a little bit differently than you did, so let's agree on what we want to do. In the case of the cited example Kanji script, it should be noted that under the Unicode Unified CJK script, and then it is shared with the Chinese language, with parentheses, and the Korean language. Is that what was supposed to happen? Should be noted that under the Unicode Unified CJK script, Kanji is shared with the Chinese
Simplified and Traditional and Korean Hanja.
And should we say scripts or languages?
Neither
scripts.
Okay, so it should say, and I'll just...
So in other words, it should be noted that script A is shared under the Unified ABC script with script B and script C, okay? Then, if you like, semicolon, the same could be said of the Arabic script, which is shared by the Arabic language and the Urdus and the Parsis and whoever.
So the same could be said and continue from there, please.
And the same could be said also for other other, how would you call it, widely adopted. The same could be said of other scripts that are widely adopted by many different languages. Like the Arabic script is adopted widely by, you know. Widely used.
So the same could be said of other scripts that are widely used by, and what'd you say after that? By other communities?
By more than one language community.
By more than one language community. And do we want an EG there, the Arabic community, or...?
The Arabic script. The Arabic script is used by both the Arabic community, the Parsi community, the Urdu community, the Sindhi community, you know? And of course, you would never once equate the Sindhi guy with the Arabic guy, you know? Or the Urdu guy, you know? Although they may wear turbans, but their turbans are quite different, you know?
Now let me tell you what I have so far, and Olaf, feel free to chime in on what you have there. What we've added so far is, in the case of the cited example, Kanji script, it should be noted that under the Unicode Unified CJK script, Kanji is shared with Chinese, simplified and traditional, and Korean, Hanja. The same could be said of other scripts that are widely used by more than one language community, for example, the Arabic script.
Fine with me.
Does that do what we wanted to do?
How about Cyrillic? Does it include Cyrillic? You are? Do you know?
That's okay. Cyrillic you can use. I mean, it's slightly different.
All of it.
Used in Bulgarian. Then Russians use and so on.
Yeah.
Same thing with Serbian.
And the Azerbaijanis also use it, right?
Yeah, right. And they have slightly the different subsets of Cyrillic actually. Cyrillic letters aren't used in Russian anymore, but they keep on using them in Bulgaria.
So we
including
should
we should actually include English as well, you know.
For example, the Arabic,
Cyrillic,
and English scripts.
Yeah.
because
certainly the English character set is used by Indonesia, for example.
Yeah. Okay.
Malay, different language, right?
Okay. All right. Let's get our sentence finished here. So do we want to add other examples besides the Arabic script? Do we want to add Cyrillic? Do we want to add
it? So that it doesn't look like we are singling out the Arabs, right?
Okay. For example, the Arabic, comma, Cyrillic.
Etc. Example A, example B, example C, comma, etc. Yeah. Too many to enumerate. It's not our job to.
Dr. Devanagari, that's used for many languages as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I say.
Just a matter of spelling it.
Yeah. For example, the Arabic, Cyrillic, and what was the one?
I think don't get ourselves into trouble. Just put et cetera, you know. Don't just put one. If you put one, you look like you're singling out Arabic, right? And if you put too many, you might get in trouble that there are differences that people might not. Well, I can't swear for Devanagari, so I wouldn't say it.
Okay.
Cyrillic is, right? Cyrillic, we are quite clear, right? And then leave it to the language experts and specialists to actually fill in the gaps.
Okay, so that last sentence now reads, the same could be said of other scripts that are widely used by more than one language community. And in parentheses, I put e.g., comma, Arabic, Cyrillic, etc.
I'm going to leave it as that.
Is that okay?
That should be safe, right?
I think so. But are we okay with what we added now? Does anybody want me to read what the two sentences that we added again?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Okay, here we go. So here's what we added after the text that we had previously edited to make some deletions in. And it says, at the end of where it says market acceptability, okay, then we added two sentences as follows. In the case of the cited example kanji script, it should be noted that under the Unicode Unified CJK script, kanji is shared with Chinese, simplified and traditional, and Korean, hanja. The same could be said of other scripts that are widely used by more than one language community, parentheses, e.g., comma, Arabic, comma, Cyrillic, comma, et cetera, in close parentheses, period.
So if somebody expanding on it, et cetera, could also include the English, of course the Arabs will say it includes English,
yeah.
And of course the English-speaking guys will say, oh no, it doesn't, so we just leave the controversy to the language specialists to solve.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay.
For example, now, to double-check, because I've got it on the web as well, for example, Arabic, comma, Cyrillic, et cetera, is that, do we have anything else?
Well, the et cetera is to, we're not trying to be all-inclusive.
No, no.
Yep.
No, but was there anything I missed in that? For example, Arabic, Cyrillic, et cetera.
That's correct.
Okay, fine. And we're home. Then
I think so. Anything else on that?
So all of you are sure, Cyrillic is used by quite a number of different languages, right?
Yes, it is.
Especially those under Russian, in the Russian, sorry, the Soviet Union.
Well, the former Soviet, pretty popular, more or less.
Yeah.
And but in Eastern Bloc, notably Bulgarian and Serbian.
And Olaf, what I will do is send you my redline word version after, so that you can see what things are from this perspective and compare it with what you captured there. So. All right, scrolling down to, let's see, we're now going down to Section 2, Introduction of IDN CCTLDs. The first major question under there is, should a list of IDN CCTLD strings be mandated? And then underneath that, going down to Item C, should such a list be mandated, is the question that I'm looking at. Okay. And then we added a little bit to the end of the proposed GNSO response so that it now says, only if there are not other means to avoid security, stability, interoperability, and user confusion issues, or, this is what we added, or if consensus develops that such a list be mandated. Any concerns about that addition? Okay, going on. And most of the edits I'm seeing now are fairly minor, and that you could have seen. If somebody thinks there's one that needs discussion, let me know. I'm going down to major question. Who selects the IDN ccTLD string in the absence of a mandated list? And underneath that, item B, the question is, who will develop the criteria and policies for determining the designation of an IDN ccTLD? And we added a sentence to the response there. So the response says, and the first two sentences didn't change, the technical protocol criteria will be determined by the IETF and the revised IDNA protocol. The non-technical policies for selecting ccTLD should be determined by the CCNSO as the policy-making body for ccTLDs with input from local stakeholders, sovereign government, local and language communities. And then we added this sentence. Currently, the process for selection of a ccTLD is coordinated by IANA in its role as staff support to the ICANN Board of Directors. Any comments, concerns, changes to that? Okay, going on. I think the next edit is fairly minor, which may be of relevance. I'll just go skip on to that, skip that one, because I think it's a good edit, but going down now to major question, what coordination should exist between the different actors? In question A, who are the appropriate actors? We added IANA last week. And in question B, what are their roles? We defined the IANA role as providing experience of ccTLD delegation processing and registrants and potential registrants. And I probably, it looks like there's a...
There's a semicolon.
There should be a comma, right?
There's a semicolon in between, so that's actually, well, it's a lineup that IANA, providing experience of ccTLD delegation processing, semicolon, registrants and potential registrants, the users of IDNs. So, well, it doesn't connect actually to IANA.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So should we change? You think we should change that, or is it okay?
No. You just grasp, has to be.
Yeah, okay. So it's okay, and I see why that confused me. Okay. Okay, anything on that? All right, then the next edits are fairly minor, I think. Scrolling down, and we're now getting into the section where we're going to talk about the issues that Sophia raised and that Tin Wee suggested some language on, but we'll get to that in just a minute, so bear with me. Just want to make sure we have all of the noted edits. BC. Okay, that looks minor. Okay, going down now to, again, we're under Section 3, Delegation of IDN ccTLDs. And then underneath that, if not, item A, who can apply to have the IDN ccTLD delegated or to be the delegate for that ccTLD? We, in the GNSO response to that, we deleted the present ASCII ccTLD operator. Any questions, comments on that? Okay. Okay, And then under item B, who decides on the delegation? And in particular, there's some four sub-questions. We spent a lot of time on this last week, and the response to question B and the sub-questions was a GNSO response to these questions is probably inappropriate. At the same time, a question that should possibly be considered is, should local legitimacy be a guiding principle in this context? Let me start off the discussion on that. Avery, who is one of the observers on this list, has made, a helpful comment. She's questioning whether we should, whether any GNSO response would be inappropriate because they've asked the questions. And she may be right there. We could delete a GNSO response to these questions is probably inappropriate anywhere that occurs, and just rephrase the what we have there and just say a question that should possibly be considered is, should local legitimacy be a guiding principle in this context? Is that okay? So
you mean for each of these bullet items?
Well, no, we're not answering. We answered these collectively, and we spent a lot of time on this last week in how to do this. So the proposed GNSO response is the question B and the four sub-questions. And the response it would be, a question that should possibly be considered is, : should local legitimacy be a guiding principle in this context? So we're answering a question with a question. So
yeah, exactly.
We would delete then the first sentence, a GNSO response to this question is probably inappropriate, and we would delete at the same time because we don't need that lead-in anymore. So it would say, start with capital A, a question that should possibly be considered is, : should local legitimacy be a guiding principle in this context? So we're raising a question for them to consider in this, in the context of all those questions. Is that all right? Any questions or comments?
This is Yoav here. Why aren't we answering the questions? I wasn't here on the last call, and I'm not. It's not clear to me why are we stopping ourselves from giving questions to answers to those questions.
Well, some of the original thinking, at least on my part, was that these really aren't GNSO issues; they're CCNSO issues.
Yeah, but they're asking for.
Okay, so what would you say?
You.
What would you say?
I don't know. There are different things to say here, but on some of these issues. First of all, I'm first asking whether we should or not answer these questions. I understand that you prefer not to. I think it's still something that is. Is consent, involvement, knowledge of government required? To my belief, some involvement should be there for in these cases. It really depends on each other's view. But the question is, do you think we should or shouldn't answer it at all?
May I ask a question, Chuck, here?
Go ahead, Sophia.
Question?
Yes.
Okay. B is what we're addressing, right? And it says who decides on the delegation, and in particular, and asks about four bullet items.
Mm-hmm.
And so the as answer being, propose the NSO response to question B, and it accepts questions above. And so if we are to keep that as is, what we're saying is, should local legitimacy be a guiding principle in this context, then is that supposed to be a question for all those four bullet items, and
yes,
we're not answering
yes
all those four bullet items?
Yes. Let me, for both of you, you weren't on the call last week, okay? What we had last week was we had tried to answer each one of the questions separately, and the answer was coming out essentially the same in each case. So it was very redundant. So yes, the answer that's there is intended to address all of the questions, not in very much specificity, as Joa pointed out. Okay, but in answer to your question, Sophia, yes, it's supposed to address all of the main question and the four sub questions.
Okay, Chuck, let me just say, I've seen an email, some correspondence between you and Tim Wee,
yeah,
on this issue. There were four different answers,
yeah,
for these answers, right?
That's the part that we're going to get back to in just a moment.
But,
okay, and so maybe the best thing to do is to finish going through all of the highlighted edits and then go back to those.
Well, I don't. Aren't these the same questions that you were corresponding on?
So I've already answered each and every question for us to, you know, your final comments, and then we looked at it via email. So, I mean, if we're going to change what we're currently proposing or adding that question, then it does. The others would be. It doesn't make sense even to go over to all the edits you've done, because it's going to illegitimize the answers.
All
so
right,
maybe we can go over that,
what
we've done over email, and then come back to this.
That's fine. That's, I thought, what I was just suggesting.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, all right. And I just, all I wanted to do, because we're very close to the end, is make sure any other, let's do that, and then let's try and remember to come back and make sure we cover the rest of the document, things that aren't related to this. So let's go over to the email from Tin Wee and me, and Sophia chimed in too. And let's see, that's not the right email. Let's find that one there. Okay. So what Tin Wee suggested, and I'll let you jump in here, Tin Wee, in just a second. So we are on this. Who decides on the delegation in particular? Are there? So the question he was talking about was question B. Okay. Who decides on the delegation and in particular? Okay. All right. Okay. So there we are. And the first one is a GNSO response. So, Tin Wee, what you're suggesting is that we respond to each of the sub-questions separately, correct?
Yeah, because the overall question is the issue of delegation of IDN CCTLDs, and we made it very clear that the proposed DNA response is that this is primarily a decision for ICANN and CCNSO in consultation with other blah, 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 right? Having said that, it asks us, if not, so then it asks us these specific questions under A, B, C, and under sub B1, B2, B3, B4. So in other words, it's just very much like the question that you have in the kanji thing. They are trying to be more explicit here, and that we should actually, it's just an effort on their part to ask us these explicit questions, because some questions cannot be answered under generalities. So they're trying to find out any exclusion clauses here. If not, right? So that's the way I understand this question in total. Delegation of IDN CCRDs belongs to the responsibility for ICANN and CCNSO, blah, 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 and other supporting organizations, advisory committees, blah, 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 right?
Right.
And then that's the reason why under item bullet 4, I recall that there was this CATO committee, right, which was an advisory committee. So if not, well, the CATO committee has actually mentioned this point, right? So that's the reason why I wrapped it up with that suggestion, because that was something which triggered my memory, I think. Who was it who reminded me about this? Was it you, Sophia?
It was me, Tin Wee. It was from the work we did on the
previous
IDN
because you were in that
group, as well as, I don't know, the
right,
last 2 years.
I wasn't in that group, yeah. So I did recall that there was this CATO thing, right? So I suspect that was the reason why the people who phrased the question or framed these questions actually would like us to say, okay, these are the general principles. However, are there any exception clauses? And if so, would GNSO like to tell us, right, what the if-nots are? Okay? So if they have explicitly elaborated on what the if-nots are in A, B, and C, and B1, B sub 1, B sub 2, and B sub 3, and 4, then we should actually oblige them with these exceptional areas of potential exceptions. In the case of A, we just basically said to them that, well, it's up to you. It's your decision, right? However, which is what exactly they're looking for. What's the however? And what's the nonetheless? Okay, and it's basically we basically contributed the comment, my useful comment that says that the approved applicant should be at least from or be supported by local sovereign government, blah, 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 right? And then it explicitly asks us, well, okay, let's be explicit here, who decides on delegation in particular, right? So are there specific reasons? Is there consent in the government? Or is there issue of incumbent and presumptive right over the corresponding ID and CCS? So I think if we don't answer these specifically, it will sound very much like a GNSO cop-out, because they're getting really down to the nub of the issue.
Now,
so
without minimizing what you're saying,
yeah,
we need to keep in mind that these questions were raised for a much broader community than the GNSO. So it's not as if each of these questions were addressed specifically to the GNSO. They were addressed
to the broader community.
The GNSO is one part of that broader community.
Absolutely.
So I don't necessarily think it's copping out if we think that certain areas are maybe less appropriate for the GNSO to respond to. At the same time, if this group would like to respond to each one of these things, I'm perfectly okay with that.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I always use extreme language. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's okay. That's okay. I just wanted to
sorry about that, guys.
So now let's look at each of the sub-questions and the proposed responses before we start redrafting text and see where we have agreement. Okay? Is that all right?
Sure.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So the first sub-question then is, are there specific reasons for deviating from the standard practice guidelines that a zone should only be delegated with the support of the local internet community, which includes the government? And that's basically the response that we were just working on before we changed directions a little bit here. And we're going to eliminate a GNSO response to this question is probably inappropriate, and we're just going to say a question that should possibly be considered is, should local legitimacy be a guiding principle in this context? And that's what you had suggested, Tin. That looks fine to me. Any concerns there? So instead of having that as a response to the all four sub-questions collectively, it would be the response to the first sub-question. Is that all right? Okay.
Fine.
Now, the next item is the next sub question is consent, involvement, knowledge of government required? And what Ken Wee suggested is and again, let's forget the language about a GNSO response to this question is probably inappropriate. We'll delete that wherever it occurs, unless people object to that. And so we would say, a question that could possibly be considered is, particularly in cases where local legitimacy is in question, clarifying the legitimacy by requiring government consent or knowledge. Now, if you looked at my response to that, where I had a concern was requiring government consent. As soon as we start requiring that being required, it gives governments and or the GAC an operational role which they really don't want, and one that the white paper talked against and everything. So what I suggested, and I won't read everything I wrote on that because you can do that on your own, we word the response like this. And forget again the first part. So it would say, a question that could possibly be considered is, particularly in cases where local legitimacy is in question, clarifying the legitimacy by encouraging government involvement and knowledge. I just took out the requiring part.
Right.
And the consent, right?
Yeah. Huh?
And the consent.
The consent part, yeah. Requiring consent. So what are your thoughts on that? I'm not trying to dictate things here. I'm just sharing my thoughts personally.
So just trying to understand your position here. You're thinking that it's just way too much that if we, in terms of process and being onerous and all that stuff, that clarifying the community by requiring government consent is just takes us down too far the road.
Well, first of all, I think the option is still there for the CCNSO and the parties that they work with to require consent if they want to.
Yeah.
I guess I shy away from us suggesting that it should be a required issue. I definitely think it's wise to involve the governments, but should there be a required consent? I don't know. I'm not sure that's really for the a good thing for the GNSO to chime in on. But if the strong consensus here is in this group is that that should be the case, we can put it forward for the council consideration.
Specific reasons.
I'm fine with the way it is, with the way Chuck edited it, encouraging government involvement versus the consent, which makes it mandatory for the government.
Yeah.
To get a hold of or push things. So I don't know, Jamie, what do you think?
I was just trying to clarify what is the thinking behind what Chuck was saying. So he clarified it, and I understand. Yeah,
if you get a government that's not working very cooperatively within the ICANN processes, they could, if you give them a veto power,
They could actually
bog things down for a while, and you know, again, that's not our decision to make. But that's a little bit more about a concern that I have. I don't think there will be very many of those, but it's probably not unlikely to think that there will be a few cases like that.
Sure, I understand.
I'm okay with it too. As I said before, I think that an involvement should be the consent is too strong. I agree.
Okay, anybody else?
Could I add a small edit?
Sure.
That's to start off with an aspect that could possibly be considered this, instead of starting with a question, because we don't end up with a question, actually.
Yeah, let me
that's
okay. Right. Okay, so an aspect that could possibly be considered? Okay, good. Yeah, I won't take the time to get it in my version right now, but I'll get that later. That's good. Anything else before we go to the next sub question?
Nope.
Okay. So the next sub question was: is consent, involvement, knowledge of incumbent CCTLD manager required? And can we suggest it? And I'm going to skip that first part. And so an aspect that could possibly be considered is, particularly in cases where local legitimacy is in question, setting aside the need for the incumbent's consent. My comments there, I thought we were stepping over our bounds, but I may be wrong on that, because I think it should be it should be up to local authorities to decide what role incumbent CCTLD managers should play. But it would seem desirable to encourage involvement by the local CCTLD manager because of the experience they bring to the table. So I suggested a rewording something like this. Whatever role the incumbent CCTLD manager plays in this process, it would seem desirable to encourage involvement by the local CCTLD manager because of the experience they bring to the table.
Well,
the scope of what we addressed in the first question, this is Sophia, because here again we're bringing the government a little bit closer to the decision making, and that's the only issue I see here versus what Tinwee has added up there, but I don't know how else to word it. I understand where Chuck is coming from. But at the same time, it's also giving sort of the power to the CCTLD manager, although we're saying encourage involvement. But definitely, from experience, those people get involved too much anyway. So what do you think, Tinwee?
I'm trying to decipher what was at the back of the minds of these people who asked these supplementary questions to the specific reasons for deviating from standard practice.
I think that some of the CCTLD managers probably want a situation where they have to, their consent is required, and I'm not supporting that. Okay.
You're not what?
I'm not supporting that position.
I want to say even something further on that. I also don't support it, and I don't think it should be automatic. They can have an involvement just like any other party in this thing. And when I was looking at reading these questions and answers, and I read Tim Wee's notes about the CATO committee. I don't know who, if all of you are aware of that report of the CATO committee. It's an ICANN committee that did a very thorough work on IDNs a few years ago. And I think that what they put out as their conclusions, they're not only relevant to the fourth question, and they're also relevant for this question, and we should mark it over here too, because what they, and I think it's very important that we will at least note out this committee, because you know, if ICANN wants to be at least seen as a serious organization, it's important that things that have been done in the past will be considered. And I'm not sure, I don't know how much this thing is known to other people in the CCNSO. I think that just to note out what they were saying is that nothing should be automatically given to incumbent registries regarding the CCTLDs. So it's relevant to the third questions and to the fourth question. And so I think this should be noted here also, that the report of CATO.
So I think from reading the question, I agree on the points that you have made. I was really looking at the question, and it says, who decides on the delegation, and in particular, are there specific reasons? And then there's consent, involvement, and knowledge. It basically is a different levels of stricture here. Consent is really, you must get the consent of X being incumbent or government. If not, then a weaker level of it would be involvement. And then a further weaker level would be just simply knowledge. So they're basically asking us, okay, well, if you say who's deciding the delegation, do you really need consent of government? Well, if it's not consent that you need, well, okay, how about involvement? If it's not involvement, will knowledge of the government be sufficient? So it's that level of gradation, and it's asking us, well, GNSO, which level should it come in? So we've just concluded that the government consent is a bit too much, and involvement of government is certainly important for us with involvement knowledge. The question here for CCTLD incumbent is that consent is absolutely not supportable by, as Chuck clearly stated out, he's absolutely not supporting consent at all. And here we are saying, well, knowledge will be fine, and possibly even involvement might be. So definitely, as UF was saying, just like everybody else, well, in incumbent CCTLD, like everybody else, should be in the know, because as Chuck was saying, well, they have the experience, right? And they are a legitimate player, so they should know. And then if they know, should they be involved? So the question now is, how much of the involvement should incumbent CCTLDs have, given that we are quite clear that, at least amongst two of you guys, that consent of the incumbent CCTLD should not be there. It's just too much. Very much like consent of government is absolutely necessary. So on the CCNSO's position, incumbent CCTLDs, in order to level the playing field, should not have any additional preference or any priority status of being having the power to consent yes or no or veto the whole thing or not, in the same way that the government should not have the veto power, as we just agreed earlier.
Yeah. Good, and that's well said. So is it correct that we're in agreement, anybody in disagreement, that we're supportive of involvement and knowledge of the CCTLD manager, but not consent?
Not amounting to consent.
Yeah. And anybody disagree with that? Okay, good. That's helpful to clarify. One other thought in the wording that you proposed, Tinwee, at the very end you say, setting aside the need for the incumbent's consent, and to me that kind of assumes that there is a need somewhere established that there should be incumbent's consent, and I don't think that there is. So I don't think we want to make that assumption that there is a need for incumbent's consent. And so, but I think the suggested change in language is, addresses that okay. So how should we word this one? I put a proposal on the table, basically saying whatever the role incumbent CCTL manager plays in this process, it would seem desirable to encourage involvement by the local CCTLD manager because of the experiences they can bring to the table. Now, we could also shorten that and just say it would seem desirable to encourage involvement by the local CCTLD manager because of the experience they can bring to the table.
That's what you said.
Not amounting to consent.
Yeah.
Not amounting to consent.
What I did, Sophia, is I deleted that whatever role the incumbent CCTL manager plays in this process. That kind of sets a different tone for it.
Okay.
And instead of having that there, just directly say it would seem desirable to encourage involvement by the local CCTLD manager, et cetera.
That's fine. I just have one comment, Chuck, because we're struggling with two things now. One is to identify the level of involvement of the CCTLD manager on this question and the next coming.
Yeah.
And the second is quoting or referring to the Cato committee. Now, so the level of involvement, I agree with the sentence you're eliminating and what you were just saying, but if we say it would seem desirable to encourage involvement, for me, involvement and knowledge are two separate things, when you make someone know or when you get them involved, right? So if we're defining the level of involvement of the CCTLD manager and not encouraging consent, I suppose there's a wide gap between just letting them know and letting them get involved. So I don't know if this group wants to make a comment or have a consensus on involvement versus knowledge.
How about both, Sophia? What if we said involvement and knowledge?
I would rather not get them involved, but just have them know. Knowledge only, but...
No, I would prefer, by the way, that the wording would be a little different. Not encourage involvement, because encourage involvement can be interpreted as much more than what we mean at this point. I think it should be something like they should be allowed to be involved, okay, just like any other party in the process.
So how about if
okay? With no preferences. And I would...
No preferences, yes.
I would add here...
Right?
What?
Level playing field.
Yeah, exactly. And I would add here...
It leads to the next question, which is the presumptive right, you see. Because it leads to the next question, well, how about presumptive right, you know?
Yeah.
So you're
okay.
Yeah,
and I would add here, in the answer to the next question, the sentence that I think I know it was you, Tinwee, that added there about the originally recommended by the Castro IDN committee. Blah, blah, blah. I would also add it here at the end. I think it's very important that we point it out. This thing, especially if we all think, just like you said, Chuck, that you don't support, that they should have a con, you know,
So the way I read the whole series of four questions, actually leading questions, leading up to the final one, which is almost rhetorical. You know, shouldn't there be presumptive right of the SQCCTLD manager over a corresponding IDNCCRD, either in the emphatic no, or because this has been reported on by Cato IDN Kennedy before, you know, setting aside such presumptive right. And then the preceding question was, well, consent needed? No consent? Well, yeah, absolutely. No consent is necessary because of the level playing field thing, right? And then government knowledge? Well, yeah, involvement, no need consent. That's right. Because we don't want the veto thing with the government, which, especially when they're not quite engaged with the internet thing, deployments of IDNs, right? So, because it's worded in such a way, in an escalatory manner, to the last question, which was, is there any, therefore, any presumptive right? Is there any presumptive right of the SQCCTLD manager over corresponding IDN T settlement? So the answer could be escalating to an emphatic no.
Okay, now I think we have two issues on the third sub-question, okay, and we're going to get to the fourth one next. Okay, the first issue is, you know, getting our wording right on the sentence, and the second issue is whether or not we refer to the Cato report. So let's put the latter one aside for a second and make sure we're in agreement in terms of the wording of the first part. In listening to what people were saying earlier, both Yoav and Sophia, I think, this equal plan, and Tinwi as well, should we say encourage involvement by local CCTLD manager along with other stakeholders? I was trying to address how do we want to word that so that we're not showing any preference to them, but they should be involved just like others. Somebody have other suggested another suggestion?
Maybe allow something like that. Allow involvement just like any other body or something like that.
Okay.
We already said encourage.
Yeah. So
yeah, I would delete the word encourage and say allow. I think it's better, for my opinion.
Okay.
Allow involvement. So allow involvement by local CCTLD managers along with other stakeholders.
Yep.
Is that okay? Okay, now let's talk about...
They shouldn't be banned from it, that's for sure, but, you know...
I'm sorry, I didn't get that.
I said that they shouldn't be banned from being involved. That's clear. But I don't think they shouldn't get any preferences, you know.
They shouldn't get any presumptive rights, right? That's
yeah.
the question.
Yeah.
That's the explicit question.
We'll get to that one. That's the next question. Okay.
Okay.
Now, with regard to the third sub-question, Yoav has suggested that we make reference to the Cato report here in addition to the last question on presumptive right. So let's talk about that. If we refer to the Cato report here, what would we say? And by the way, just for everyone's awareness, I am very aware of the Cato report because I was monitoring that and watching it from the sidelines when that was developed and finished.
Okay, so you must be the one to craft the words, right?
No, not necessarily.
To this question now. Since you're so familiar with the Cato report.
As recommended, just like we mentioned at the number four, can we say as recommended by the original Cato IDN committee report?
Yep.
And what specific recommendation are you referring to?
The recommendation that the CCTLD managers they should not be given consent or presumptive
right.
Okay.
Okay. So maybe we say something like it's useful to note that the Cato report recommended that CCTLD manager consent not be required. Is that what you're saying?
Not be required.
Yep. Anybody opposed to that?
That was a whole lot of thinking.
I think one of the points is also that since you were well involved in the Cato Committee, is that the ICANN processes should be actually learning from previous experience and building up, you know, so that it grows and acquires this kind of inherited wisdom as it goes along. And for subsequent generations of policy making, not invoking or even recalling that previous committees have extensively dealt with this issue and debated it at hand extensively would be something which is not quite ideal, right? It's just like 5 years from now, if we didn't have IDNs deployed yet, and then yet another committee by folks 5 years our junior debating going over the same ground as we have been going now and then totally ignoring what we have stated because they simply haven't gone back to look at history. Or simply we haven't learned from the lessons learned in the past. Right.
Let me suggest some wording for this, an additional sentence here on the third question. It may be useful to note that the Cato report recommended that consent of incumbent CCTLD managers not be required.
Good way.
Sounds good.
Is that good?
Sounds good.
Okay.
It's good to me.
Let's go on then to the last sub-question, which is there any presumptive right of the ASCII CCTLD manager over a corresponding IDN CCTLD? And Ken Wei's response was, again, deleting the stuff on the front, an aspect that could possibly be considered, for example, in cases where local legitimacy is in question, is setting aside such a presumptive right as originally recommended by the original ICANN-wide GTLD and CCTLD Cato IDN committee report of a few years ago on the eventual deployment of IDN CCTLDs.
So I really take the point that Chuck was trying to make that, well, here we are assuming that there is presumptive right. Chuck is basically saying, well, of course not, there isn't. So why are you pretending that there is? So I take your point, Chuck. Maybe you'd like to reword this.
I'm glad you you said that yourself, because that was one of my first concerns here. I don't think there's any presumptive right, okay? The question is, should there be, okay? And so I had suggested a GNSO, whatever is decided regarding the involvement of ASCII CCTLD manager, we probably want to delete that like we did before. So it would seem wise to consider the issues of local legitimacy and a good experience for those who will directly benefit from the scripts used for IDN CCTLDs, and then make a reference, and then we could make a reference similar to the Takata report, just like we did in the previous one.
Yeah, saying that there are no presumptive rights. That a Cato report, this is one of the main issues that they say that there are no presumptive rights.
Yeah.
We can make reference to that.
Yeah.
Check the way you wrote it exactly before, but with the reference to the presumptive rights point.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. That's the best,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not us saying it, we are just reminding them that it's not us saying it, it's actually
responsible to disclose the report. That's what I've been saying all on GNSO before, because it's not something we should ignore. It's a work done by legitimate people that were appointed by the board, so...
So it, you know, it's not GNSO's position. It may not be appropriate for us to answer this question, but, you know, don't you guys remember, you know, a few years back, you know, there was this Cato Committee thing?
And we're going to delete that language about the appropriateness of the GNSO response.
Okay.
All right, so now, let me get clarification on one more thing. I had suggested that we say something like, it would seem wise to consider the issues of local legitimacy and a good experience for those who will be directly benefiting from the scripts used for IDN CCTLDs, and then we add on a statement about presumptive rights and the recommendations by the Cotto Committee. Is everybody in agreement with that?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. And rather than taking everybody's time to try and reword those, I think we've got the gist of that. Olaf, you have any questions in that regard? You and I will draft language after
the call.
Yeah,
let's do that. I don't have your proposal.
I understand. I'm not going to take the time to word it right now. All four of these things, I think I have the gist of it, and I'll work with you to finalize some language, and then let me see if this plan of attack works, because everybody doesn't have the language in front of them. Within a couple hours, and I'll get on it right after this call, to send to Olaf, and then once Olaf and I have agreed on some language, we'll send it to the list. And can everybody commit to reviewing it within 24 hours?
Okay.
Because I need to get this thing wrapped up because I have so that I can move on to other things that I have responsibilities for and get it to the council. So everyone will have 24 hours after we send it out the final language on this
okay.
to comment and make any final edits. Is that okay?
Okay, I'll go to sleep and come back on it.
Yeah, and that's right. That's why
yeah,
I said 24
good.
Hours. I do want
you
to get your sleep.
Thank you.
Okay. I need a little bit more myself, but I'll work on that tonight. So,
okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Now, let's go back. Let me go back to the Word document so I can see if there are any other changes we need to go over. If you go down to E, scrolling down a little bit there, okay. In fact, let's look at D. The question was, do existing U.S. ASCII CCTLD delegation policies for dealing with multiple applications, objections to applications, or disputes apply to the same issues in the delegation of IDN CCTLDs? If not, who will formulate the policies for these issues? The only thing we had there as a response was a GNSO response to this question is probably inappropriate, and we've kind of shied away from that based on Aubrey's suggestion. Which would mean we would have no response there. Is that what we want to recommend?
On which point are you asking?
D. Item D. Just go down a little bit from where we were. We were on B, remember?
Yeah.
Okay. Go down to D, and it says, do existing U.S. ASCII CCTLD delegation policies for dealing with multiple applications, objections to applications or disputes apply to the same issues in the delegation of IDN CCTLDs? If not, who will formulate policies for these issues? What should we say there? Should we say nothing? And that's okay, I think. I mean, I'm not advocating one way or another, but I'd like to get the sense of the group.
Didn't we talk about language community at some point on this?
Yeah.
So decision for ICANN and the CCNSO and other supporting organization advisory committees supported by local sovereign government, blah, 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 language community, same language that we used in A?
No, this is D, can we say?
Yeah, so could we use the same language as in A here?
Or we could just refer back to A if that's what people think. We could refer, see response for A above.
Let's see.
And that may be appropriate here. And that does get into the language community, et cetera.
Yeah.
A. Yeah, that is that.
either repeat it or we could just say see the response for A above.
Anyone other than the language community and the mentioned government and internet business users that we want to see, Timmy or Yoav on there? Otherwise, we can just say refer to A if we're not excluding any other authority.
Is that okay?
No, I'm okay.
Happy. I don't have any more to add to A. So.
Yeah. Not excluding any other relevant party.
So. Please see the response for A. Okay. Going on then to E, there are some changes made in the response for that. The second paragraph of the response was changed a lot. It now reads, for IDM CCTLDs running essentially as commercial GTLDs with little or no connection to the territory, it would seem appropriate that a level playing field is established with similar technical, operational, and financial requirements as for any IDN GTLD counterparts, at least in the same language grip country. Any questions or comments on that? Okay. Let's go on then. And that covers all of the edits. So the next question I have is, does anyone have any other areas of the document that you want to discuss on this call?
Awesome.
While you're thinking, so Olaf and I will, and I'll take the first stab, Olaf, of sending something out to capture the discussion we had on the four sub-questions, and I'll get that to you hopefully within the next 30 to 45 minutes.
That's perfect.
And then if you can just let, you know, give me your feedback, and then shortly after that we'll get something out to the whole list, and everybody will have 24 hours for final comments on that, and then hopefully by then tomorrow we can... wrap this thing up and not later than Wednesday get it to the council for their consideration. And please keep in mind that all of you have input through the to the GNSO council through your representatives in the some of you directly, like Sophia's on the council and I'm on the council, but Bilal's on the council, okay. But those that aren't on the council, you still have input through your representatives and the constituencies that you're a part of. So please use that avenue. Anything else?
Thank you, Chuck. This was a very good group.
Yes.
It was very efficient.
It was, and I really sincerely appreciate and thank each of you for all the time you spent on it. That really made my job much easier. So thank you very, very much. I didn't talk about Mark McFadden's second comment where he was going to provide some text, but since he didn't provide it, I'm just going to not do anything with that if everybody's okay with that. Okay.
Fine.
All right. Well, good job, everybody. And remember to watch the list and look at what Olaf and I send around in a little bit, and then we'll wrap this thing up. And again, I'll try and keep you informed of what's going on, especially for those who aren't on the council, via this list in the next few weeks.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye, all.
Bye. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.